Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. What's going on, everybody? This is Rachel Kayleen with the Millennial Wave, and we are currently on episode 28. We're getting up there, okay? It's real out here. We've almost been doing this podcast for a year, about 8 months consistently. But today, I have Adrian Pignon in the building. He is a creative, that's for sure, but he's also the founder of Town Today, which is an app that helps you discover local events. And currently, we are in Sacramento, California. But you know what? I don't think that just an entrepreneur and a creative is your title. I feel like you are the networker of networkers. After meeting you, I have built so many different connections, and you've just told me about so many people and different platforms and events that I didn't even know about that have helped me. And one of the things that you actually helped me do is get a couple of other startup founders in the building. This was at our old studio. The founders of Hoop Maps, which are two brothers, they were on Shark Tank. And that was an incredible interview. I mean, people got tons of value from it. And I got tons of value from it for sure. And I think it helped a lot of people kind of realize what to do with the first steps in creating a startup, which I'm excited to also talk to you about. And so tell me, okay. First of all, thank you for being on the podcast.
And thanks for the awesome introduction.
Really? Cool. You liked it?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's getting better, you know? But it's also because I know you. You know, some of the people that I bring on the podcast, I don't exactly know. And I have to get to know them a little bit more throughout the interview. But for right. you, I know you. You know, we've hung out. We went to Lowbrow. We got to talk a little bit more. You told me about how you played football and everything. And then coming back and just kind of going into entrepreneurship. You invited me to the Sac City event, right? Sac City? It was mm-hmm. the Sac City event. That was last summer. See, you know, do you remember
She's
all
got a
this
good
stuff?
Memory.
I do. Yeah, cool. I do. And no, you, I mean, well, here's one thing. You've given me one of the best gifts that anyone could ever ask for, in my opinion, especially an entrepreneur, which was a book. You got me that book by Lewis Howes, and he replied on Instagram. Yeah. it's called The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes, and I want you to know I use all the different goal-setting tactics that he mentioned in that book to this day.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And they helped me a ton.
Yeah,
a ton.
I remember you mentioned him, so I was like, oh, I was shopping, and then I saw the name, and I was like, okay, this looks familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel, okay, she'll probably like this.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Like, that was an amazing gift. I'm super grateful for it. And the fact that we didn't even know each other, like, super well, it just kind of showed what type of person you were. So
I respect the drive and the passion, so I was like, you know, I want to give you something that can help elevate you a little more, mm-hmm. a little bit more, so I just thought like education would be a good gift.
I feel like not enough people surround themselves with those type of individuals that will help them elevate, that will literally get them a book as a gift. I mean, come on. Like, that's incredible, especially for people our age. So talking about being able to surround yourself and elevate with the right people in your life, how did you kind of get involved in entrepreneurship, and why is networking such a big thing that is a part of your life?
Well, I guess networking is just chatting with people. I mean, I was in sales when I was in middle school. I sold newspapers for the Sacramento Bee door to door as like a 12-year-old. And then I did like landscaping for another 5 years, talked to clients, and then just kind of grew like that. And then I just worked at a phone store for another 5 years, so I was always around people and always chatting with them. But as an entrepreneur, a network is really important because you never know when you'll need to, I guess, need a lifeline or use a resource. Or even like a good mentor of mine, a good friend, Taro Arai, he's the owner of Mikuni Sushi.
Really?
I talk to him all the time, and you know, he's always like humbling me, always helping me through like a lot of tough stuff. So just surrounding yourself with great people that can help you out can make the difference, not just in your business, but in your life. Yeah.
And how did you even start meeting all these people? Did you know them beforehand, or did you meet them over the period of different events? Did this all come from networking events and workshops and whatnot?
It just happened, you know? Like, I saw Taro at the Kings game, you know, floor seats. He had, like, this goofy outfit, kind of like mine. But, you know, I saw him, and I said to myself, like, I have to talk to this guy.
Where were you?
At a Kings game.
You were literally just sitting at a Kings game?
Yeah, watching the Kings play basketball.
Wow.
Isn't that what you do at a basketball game?
Like what were, I didn't know if you were like high up in the stands, or like, oh, that guy right there, I need to meet him. Like, were you near him, or like you literally just like stalked him until he left?
No, I mean, I just went to the game. My friend invited me and it was super chill. I knew about his story. I knew that he was a man of God, and I don't know. You just kind of do things sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you went up to him and then what?
I just talked to him.
You just said, hey, man, like, I'm talking about, like, for people that don't know how to talk to someone. Like, people that don't know the power of networking, that don't know the power of, like, elevating your circle.
Well, you definitely have to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I was just some regular Joe, I would have just said, oh, that's, you know, a cool guy right there. And then just go about your day. But I kind of, you have to have the motivation to just get up out of your seat, literally, and just go talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may not be comfortable, your voice might be shaky, you know, you might not even look them in the eyes, but when you just do these things, people respect that. And I mean, I can call him my friend and a brother in Christ, so he's super chill, and it just takes that motivation to do things. Yeah.
So when you did go up to him, or when you're even talking to anyone that's of such high influence, I mean, at the end of the day, they're people, right?
Exactly.
But you know their track record. You know the type of success that they've created in their life. So when you went up to him, did you go with the intention of, oh, I want to get this guy's number? Or did you go in with the intention like, oh, I want to ask this guy a question, or I want to just show this guy who I am. I want him to know who I am. I want to be able to shake his hand and tell him, hi, I'm Adrian Pinon.
Well, I mean, you said it really nicely. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're Bill Clinton. I don't know. That's the first person. Okay, if you're Bill Clinton.
Or Bill Gates.
Okay, Bill Clinton or Bill Gates or,
okay,
you know, Bill from across the street. You know, you kind of just see them as people. Like, it doesn't matter X, Y, and Z, your resources or what you can offer, but they're just people.
Yeah.
And some people that want to grow their network see them like, oh, let me just sit in the stands, versus just trying to get out there and get some playtime.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like just go out and talk to people.
Yeah. And that's kind of how you started networking and whatnot.
Yeah.
And how has it helped you within your life? Like when you meet all these people, are they just associates? How do they become close friends? That's the thing that I'm kind of trying to figure out. Like, when you're meeting someone and you're trying to connect with them and get to know a little bit more about their story, how does that friendship grow from just a business associate to an actual friend?
I mean, things just happen. You just have to create experiences, you know? Here goes my marketing. And that's what my app does for people, you know? You find events and you go to events and you create experiences and meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess case in point is, I mean, I think we met through like a Instagram.
No, we did.
Something.
And then we were both at the Visit Sacramento shoot at the Sawyer.
That's right. See, mm-hmm. So that's an experience. And then it just kind of grows from there. Maybe you laugh at my joke in a wrong way, or maybe you fall or something, or we have a shared experience. And then it's like, oh yeah, Rachel, that's the girl that's super crazy in a good way.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so you just kind of grow these relationships as time goes by.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're usually the one reaching out? You're usually the one taking the initiative to go out and meet these people?
I mean, if you want to grow your network, of course, yeah.
You think that's one of the most important things that you can do?
You have to be a go-getter.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to create the app, Town Today?
I got off of work early. So did my friend, and then I just told him to come to my house. And I'm like, okay, let's have some fun. You know, I just got my money. He got his paycheck too. So we're like, okay, let's go. It took us a long time to find something fun. So we just wanted to create a solution. I'm into programming, and he's more into like the sales stuff. So here we are, like 3 years later, just
kind
of grinding, yeah.
3 years later? That's crazy. So you guys came up with the idea, like, oh, let's create an app that can help people find events. What about Eventbrite?
Eventbrite's cool, but we wanted to create something that was like a community online. Eventbrite just doesn't have an online community where you can, almost like a social media. So I'd say like Town Today is Eventbrite meets Instagram and just has a super nice baby. Yeah.
Has a nice baby. That's cool. Yeah. So when you're creating this app, what were some of the biggest struggles for you? Like, what were some of the hardest things that you had to deal with when creating it?
If you had a dollar for every time somebody told you they had a good idea, how rich would you be?
Pretty, making six figures a year minimum.
There you go. So everybody just has a good idea, quote unquote, but about 99.5% of them don't really do the market research, the product testing, develop a prototype, do some marketing, or even know about their product. So, you know, their startup just takes a plummet really, really fast. So you gotta hit the ground running. You have to talk to 40 people a day saying, hey, how do you currently find events? What would you like differently about Eventbrite? Do you use Facebook for events? Do you use Instagram? Like, what is better to find events than Ticketmaster? You know, just ask people questions and you'll slowly start to get information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was one of the hardest things? Was just the research?
I'd say that's one of the most important things, because if you have an idea and you think you're going to make six figures, go and talk to people and see if it's like something people want, something people need, something that will make you money, something that will make you happy, which is probably the most important thing. So just talking to people and along the way creating a prototype, along the way raising money, along the way talking to investors and networking, it's a huge process.
Yeah. And did you start networking before Town Today, or once you started creating the app and came up with the idea?
I've always just kind of been networking, but because Town Today is a software-based company, I started to expand my network into, I guess, like programmers and investors and venture capitalists and owners of other companies. So that way they can inspire me and influence me. Because if I know someone that works in construction, he's just gonna say, oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I can't really help you. I'll download it, but I can't really help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So when you were creating the app and you actually had to go out in there and get like the market research and everything, you said that's one of the most important things when creating a startup. Mm-hmm. So how would you get the research? Would you just go up to people on the street? What would you do?
I mean, that's probably the most important thing. Just talk to people. Create a survey on, what is it called? SurveyMonkey. You can do that for free. Create a Google form and just send that to your Facebook follower or Facebook friends or Instagram followers, Snapchat, you name it, LinkedIn. You have to hustle, you have to grind.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for 3 years. The first year, what was that like? What did you do the first year? Because when did you launch the app?
Well, we launched the web app about 4 months ago.
Exactly. So what were you doing the first year?
The first year, kind of a little bit of market research. Like, we went to the state fair, dressed up as like these professional guys with a clipboard, and we just walked around and talked to like 500 people.
Wow.
Said, hey, we asked them how they found out about the fair.
Mm-hmm.
We drew up some designs. We talked to, I guess, like owners of companies and saying like, hey, how do you currently get your events out to people? Just a lot of like testing and research and development type of stuff. Just kind of having fun with it, I guess. Yeah. And then it just starts to get more serious as you progress.
What does more serious mean?
Like more eyeballs.
Okay.
Like,
so,
yeah.
Go ahead. The eyeballs, what were they like? What do you mean? They're just paying attention? Like, when are you going to come out with the app? Or really?
That was one of them. I mean, you get people like, hey, when's the app coming out? Hey, you should have this idea. Hey, you should come over here. Hey, talk to these people. And then it just kind of starts to brew a little bit. There's more excitement. Your numbers start to grow. People are listening now. They expect things from you now. And it's like, whoa, you gotta step it up now, you know?
Yeah. Were you ever like nervous right when it happened? Like dang, like I really gotta pull this off type of thing. Did you ever have that idea, that feeling?
I mean, I think I'd be lying if I say I didn't, because I think we're all human. We get nervous. And this is my first startup company, you know, it's doing okay. But like, I guess it's safe to say that I was nervous, mm-hmm. but it's not something that I guess before a meeting or before a pitch competition or before a networking event, I'll just drop a quick prayer and I'm like, God, you know, help me out. It usually works. Yeah.
What was one of the hardest times within the journey? And I mean, you still have such a long way to go. Like, it's an endless journey if we really think about it. But what's been one of the hardest things so far? Like, maybe one of the most difficult moments, embarrassing moments, times where maybe you wanted to quit. What were some of those moments and how did you get through them?
I'll say there's two. The first one is like, try not to come off like as an a-hole, mm-hmm. you know, because they see you, oh, you're the founder, you're the CEO, oh, da da da. And then they kind of see you a different way, which kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is just being genuine. Like, I think that's probably the hardest thing is like just being genuine, because you'll have people that are like, okay, that's Adrian, okay, founder of Town Today, he's got an event app, he can program, he can code back end, front end, gather event information, I can use him for this and that. Oh, that's the owner of this company, he can do this for me, or, you know, it's super like,
is it a little shady?
Not shady, but it's fake. You know, a lot of it is fake, and I wish people were more genuine.
Why don't you think they are? Because they're trying to use people for their services?
We live in a capitalistic society. But, I mean, if people were a little more genuine, a little more like, you know, like a family, it would be a lot more fun.
Within the entrepreneurship community? Yeah.
Yeah, entrepreneurship community, because, I mean, they want to, I guess, dig themselves out of a hole, or they want to make their dreams happen, or, you know, they want it now, they want it now, they want the $1 million right now, they want their product out right now. So, yeah, if it's a little more genuine, it'd be a little more fun.
Would you say that, like, for example, when you were just saying they want their product out right now, like, do you think they're being disingenuous with certain things, or do you think they're just excited about their business?
I mean, it's their baby.
Yeah.
You know, they want to show their baby to the world, and they want their baby to grow to some successful company. So founders usually just want to show their baby to the world, and sometimes you just got to sit back and just be patient.
Yeah. Is yours your baby?
Of course it's my baby. It's my first company. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're like the attachment can hurt you?
Yeah. Like if I don't win a pitch competition, I'm like, man, like what's wrong with mine? Like the logo's awesome, concept is cool. But I mean, that's like when you own a company and you know, you start to grow these personal feelings towards it, and it's kind of hard to like separate that.
Yeah.
Because it's your idea, you know?
Mm-hmm. And do you ever have people that come in, try to, like, take equity? Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah, I had a few people try to strong arm me, and then I'm just like, I'm good. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a big city.
The guy that you had the idea with, are you guys still partners? Are you guys still doing it together, or is it just you?
He's a really good friend. He's more on the back burner right now because I've kind of ventured a little more onward. He's still a part of it. He still like gives me ideas and stuff. We're super chill. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess I kind of just ran with it a little more.
So how does that work? So for example, like when you have people in your life that are a part of it, how do you kind of decide on who goes where? How do you work with people that you're close to? How do you make that happen? And how do you kind of move some opinions away from others. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you take in certain things, but you try to avoid other things that people say? You take in the right opinions and you try to leave out the other ones. How do you kind of filter that?
I mean, that's just logic. I mean, it just depends how you were raised. Like, I remember you told me, I guess, like, your grandmother that passed away, like, she basically taught you a lot about entrepreneurship. So she basically built a smart young woman. You know what I mean? So that just kind of comes from my parents. You kind of grow this logic. You don't become gullible to, like, hey, if you walk down here, you'll make $100. So you try not to be so gullible. You start to learn things after some time. Yeah.
What's a mistake that you've made?
A mistake that I've made?
Mm-hmm. Something that may have hurt you. Like, something that may have hurt the company, or just a mistake that you really, like, you screwed up. Like, you really had to... took a while to fix. You had to come back up from it.
I would say expect too much from my team. Yeah, you can't expect too much, because then it's like, then you're on that hamster wheel. Like, okay, I gotta get this thing out. I gotta launch this thing. We're trying to make money right now. And then you start pressuring people. Like, okay, I need you to get this done right now. I need you to get this done right now. We're on a clock. We got to launch this. We're on a pitch competition right now. So just try not to expect way too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about do you think it's just a matter of hiring the right people, or are you hiring the wrong people, or you're hiring the right people, but you just, your standards are too high?
I mean, it depends.
Do you feel like you hire the right people?
I think so. I honestly think it was me, because this is my first company. I'm not saying that I'm like Steve Jobs. Like, it's my first company. You learn, like you said, you learn from your experiences. And I finally figured out, like, hey, I should probably cut these people out, because they're just kind of bleeding this company out. So yeah, you start to make sagacious decisions.
Okay. I like it. So besides the company, are you currently doing anything else, or is it like full-time hustle?
I actually work for the State Department. I'm doing like web analyst. So basically I make sure that the website works. What we see is working, in a nutshell.
So it's like, part of what you do relates to what your current business is.
Yeah.
Do you recommend someone that's starting a business, even, like, let's say they're working at a job and they hate what they do, not saying that you do, but they hate what they do, and they want to start a business that's in a completely different industry or field, do you recommend that if they want to start that business to go and get a job that can help them fund it and that's related to that current business so they can learn more?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. You should definitely not start a company that you know nothing about. You know, I knew just a little bit about programming, and I thought I could create the next, you know, Facebook thing. I learned that the hard way. It takes a lot. Whoever's watching, like, I just need to just sit back and just think about, like, okay, is this a serious startup that I want to pursue? Because it's going to take a lot of time. It might ruin a lot of relationships. I'm going to waste money. It's a time commitment. So if you know how to fold chairs and you're really good at folding chairs, do something cool and innovative with folding chairs. I mean, if you know how to, I don't know, what's something cool you think?
Something regarding soap.
Soap.
I was just thinking about soap.
If you know how to take a shower really good, do something cool and make money taking showers.
If you try a lot of different soaps and you don't like the soaps that you've tried and they make your skin itch, go come up with a soap bar. Some shit like that.
There you go.
Something like that.
There you go. Yeah.
Excuse my French. But, okay, so you said that when you're starting a startup, you have to invest a lot of time, money, resources, effort. Are you telling me that you were literally willing to basically give everything to this company, whether it worked or not?
I wouldn't say I would give everything.
But if you know it can work and it eventually will, and it'll grow to what you would like it to be in the long run, why wouldn't you That's just a question, like just a general question. Why wouldn't you risk everything when you know it can work? Why do people not do that?
It's risky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's risky. We're kind of like comfortable people sometimes, like clock in, clock out, go home. That's okay. Got a lot of family members and friends that do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're out pursuing a startup and you're like, man, this could really take off, but is going to take that extra level of commitment, then it's like, am I really ready for that? Like, am I really ready for this crazy dip right now, like this roller coaster ride? You got to ask yourself that and
be honest.
Yeah, and if you're asking yourself that, then you're probably not ready.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so? Or maybe they're just trying to come down to the decision of it's getting a little crazy up in here. It's getting a little hot. I don't know if I'm ready for the next step. You know what I mean? Like, look, here's one thing. Before you started your startup, I'm sure that you looked at founders of them and you were like, wow, these people are like crushing it. This is amazing. I love this whole idea. And then you come up with your idea and you join the game. And then you open the curtains. This is such a big, like, just imagine your head. You open the curtains and you see everything that happens behind the scenes. All the shady stuff, all the fake stuff. I mean, that's in any industry. It's not just business. I mean, everything's technically business, but not just startups. In the music industry, in the cooking industry, I'm sure. I mean, everything. So when someone actually gets exposed to the worser parts, I would say, of startups, do you think that can discourage someone from continuing?
Big time.
Big time?
Oh, yeah. Because then it's like the honeymoon is over, the Hollywood movie's over. You know, when you think of Steve Jobs, you're like, oh, man, this guy's awesome. You know, Apple, crazy innovative, period. But when you do a little bit of digging and research, it wasn't just like flowers and rainbows and, you know, uphill. Like, it was, yeah, it's a lot. And like I said earlier, just take a seat, just think about what you really want to do and if this is something you want to do, because, you know, it's really awesome to watch Gary Vee with all the F-bombs and all the, like, motivational talks, but, like, you know, Gary Vee's not going to be your side buddy, like, all the time, like, every day, like, okay, this is what you have to do now. Okay, that's okay. He just dissed you. This is what you do. Or, like, oh, you're about to go in this meeting with X, Y, and Z that can give you X amount of X, Y, and Z. Yeah, you just have to, yeah.
How did you know this was something that you wanted to do, though? How did you know, like, when you started, how did you, like, be like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
My parents. My parents, they've never worked for a company, and yet, like, these guys are pretty cool. They're doing pretty well. They never worked for anybody. Like, my mom, she has, like, this house cleaning company, and she, like, just, like, hires people to clean houses for her, hires strictly women work for her to clean houses, which is doing really well. My dad does a construction company, same thing. He just hires out construction workers to do construction.
And you've learned a lot from them?
I
would think about business at least. I mean, if they have always had their own business.
They've taught me a lot about, like, how to treat a client and how to, like, close deals, negotiate, get the best bang for your buck, how to treat people, but nothing about, like, equity, percentage, interest, market cap, market potential, scaling.
Did you learn that in school?
No.
I'm just curious. No.
You just learn that as you go along. Like, you go to networking events, you go to these seminars, you go talk to people that own companies. And
you believe in those?
Because
some people are, you know, some people are like, why would I go to a seminar? I don't need to go to a seminar. All that rah, rah. Or, why would I go to a networking event? I already know all that. You know, something like that. What would you say to someone like that?
I mean, it depends on the seminar.
Yeah.
you know, seminars got like a weird vibe to them. It's like,
some of them do, that's for sure.
Okay, which ones don't?
Which ones don't?
Yeah.
Well, I've honestly, I'm very picky about the events that I go to, but I can tell you one thing right here. I went to one event back in, what was it, March? And what I didn't, I respect it, but I don't prefer it. It was a big pitch fest. I didn't go to a pitch competition, okay? I didn't request to go to a pitch competition. I requested to go to an event to learn, but that was kind of my fault. I should have known when I saw how many speakers there were that everyone's gonna be trying to sell something. And just saying, but then about a few months later in May, I went to an event, which I actually wasn't planning on going to, but it was in my backyard, it was in Las Vegas, and I really respect the guy that was hosting it because I got to meet him a couple times before that, and I just liked his character. Nice. So I went, and I had no idea about this when I went there, but it was like, there was no pitching allowed. And that's the thing, I respect the fact that they're selling the product. If they have a good product and service, you should buy it. If it relates to you, if you would like to buy it, if you need it in that moment. But what I noticed about the last event, the first one, was that it was all over the place. Everyone was in a different industry. It was all very different. I did feel like I was at a pitch competition because it wasn't one specific niche, right? But the second one was a lot more relatable. There was no pitching, all value, which is what most people go to events for. They go for value, you know? So that was something that I really enjoyed. The community of people were all very like-minded. Not the first one wasn't the same, but like I said, I think you just have to experiment. Like I said, you don't know until you get out there, but the minimum that you'll get out of it, which is the best thing that you could possibly get out of it, is the people, the connections. And that's why, and that's another good reason, always go to events, networking events, just meeting new people and getting their information and seeing what could happen down the line, whether it's just a random hello, how are you, or if it's like, hey man, I have this going on, I know that you're into this, let's team up, let's collaborate. So regardless, all events are different and they all serve a different purpose. Wow, this mic is picking up everything.
That was a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. You can get a little bit closer. I know. Oh, wow. You know your stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was a truck. But anyway, so like I said, everything serves a different purpose and people go to different things. Everyone has their thing. So if you like it, cool. And if you don't, there's always another one.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's what I was saying. But yeah, so you like the events and the seminars?
Kind of. I mean, on your point, like events can be kind of pitchy or events can be kind of like selling you like holy water or whatever, just kind of doing too much. But I think as long as you're out trying to create what you love, that's probably the most important thing. So for your dream soap shower company you just created, if you're out networking with people and you're like, hey, I have this idea for this shower video thing or whatever, people start to take notice and they say, oh, I know Rachel, she does the soap thing. Hey, you should probably connect with X, Y, and Z. So as long as you're out networking and trying to create what you love, then it doesn't hurt.
And do you have a lot of mentors that help you along your journey? A lot of people that you didn't know beforehand?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of mentors that helped me out. A lot of them were like tough love. So they say like, they'll cuss at me and they're like, man, like, what are you doing? I had some that are like, man, just keep doing what you love, keep pursuing. You know, Taro just keeps telling me like, keep God in your heart, keep pursuing love. You have to learn to trust people. And you do that by communicating with people, which is really cool. So simple, yet so hard for me to see. You just surround yourself with great people, which is a quote that my mentor, Dale Carlson, who's the founder of Sleep Train.
Really?
He basically told me, like, you have to surround yourself with great people and make them better. It's just the simple things, like, it's the little things that can make the huge difference. Like, these quotes are so simple, but yet they've had the biggest impact. So, yeah.
I like that. And then you mostly only do things in Sacramento, or where's your app at? Is it strictly for Sacramento events?
For right now, it is. Yeah, we're actually starting like junior college.
Okay.
And then branching out to like Sac State, other CSUs, UC Davis, and then I have, Bay Area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, wait, most of the events are at the junior college? Oh, wait, do you host all the events?
I don't host.
No. Okay.
I'm not a host. I just promote them.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, you've even told me about events, so it just kind of seems like it's something that you're meant to do. I mean, you're always telling me about the events.
Yeah, we got to bring people together so they can create experiences so they can do what they love.
Yeah. Oops. So was one of the harder things about creating the startup was monetizing it? Finding out how to monetize the app. I feel like that's one of the harder things about creating apps.
So if you're out there and you have this startup idea that's going to make you millions of dollars, I think it's pretty smart to think, how am I going to make money with it? You have to think about how you're going to make money promoting events, whether that's in the form of geolocation advertising or paid promotions, or if you've got this magic soap idea, maybe how you're going to monetize that. Probably through, I don't know, talk to the SAC co-op and convince them that your soap is 100% organic, and people in Sacramento would love this because it's got a SAC logo on it, just something creative. But you have to figure out how you're going to make money, because at the end of the day, you're not going to pay bills with, hey, I'll pay you next month. You have to pay. Make money.
You still gotta make a living.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's incredible. So tell me about what's happening in the future. You're 3 years in. How many more years to go?
As long as it takes, I guess. I mean, I love what I do. Like, it's different. I'll go to like family events and they're like, "Oh man, how's the app doing? Oh, you're doing great. Oh, that's awesome. You're doing something different." You got all these like super corny.
You got some supportive family if they're talking to you like that. Cause a lot of, also your parents are like, purebred entrepreneurs. Clearly they have their own companies. Right. But I was going to say, like, I feel like for most people, their families aren't as supportive. Or, man, why are you still doing that thing? That's good. You got those people saying, you're doing something different.
I mean, you're always going to have haters, but yeah. I mean, let's just talk about the people that support you. So, because at the end of the day, it's like, whether it's good news or bad news, it's good news. So just focus on the people that are impacting you in a good way.
100%.
Yeah.
Cool. So tell these people where they can find you.
Where they can find me.
Social media, your app. You're not a social media guy.
I mean, just look us up at Town Today. That's it. Just Town Today. If you're having trouble figuring out what that is, just if you've ever wondered what's happening around in your town, download Town Today so you can find out what's happening in your town today. See, there's like a lot of wordplay in there.
Yeah, I like it.
I think that helped me win a couple pitch competitions.
Yeah. No, it's good. It makes sense.
Town Today. It's easy.
Cool. That's it?
That is basically it.
You don't want them to reach out to you?
I think they'll find me. I think you did a very good intro. Shout out to Rachel for the awesome intro.
Woo! It's cool.
28 episodes.
Yep, 28. We're going to get there.
That's respect. And Will Smith, if you're listening to this, Rachel wants to interview you.
See, people know. I didn't even know I told you that. That's the funny thing. I had no idea. I tell people that a lot too. I want people that I've watched for years through their growth. I want to see them on here too. But it's a process, especially with podcasts. This isn't a business. This is like literally a hobby. So just being able to know that I can connect with people, and this is another way for me to network and get to know new people. And you're already giving me ideas of next guests.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. But thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, keep doing what you love, and just thank God each and every day for the struggles, because if it weren't for the hard stuff, the good stuff wouldn't even be worth it. Yeah.
True that.